Welcome to the Middle Tech Spotlight Series, where we highlight entrepreneurs, investors, and ecosystem supporters that are building our startup ecosystem. We've been talking to founders consistently over the last 4 years, and we want to use this series to keep tabs on the companies being built here. Today, we're talking with Adam Bowe, who is the CEO and founder of Cake, being built here in Lexington, Kentucky. So Cake is a unique platform that makes buying and selling insurance books of business a piece of cake. Think of it like a marketplace for insurance agents' books of business. Before diving in, we just want to highlight the sponsors that make all of this possible. Before highlighting our sponsors, we'd just like to state that the views and content shared on this platform do not necessarily reflect those of our show sponsors. Middle Tech is presented by KY Innovation, the Kentucky Cabinet for Economic Development's Office of Entrepreneurship. KY Innovation exists to support and develop Kentucky's startup ecosystem, and we are proud to be supported by an organization whose mission aligns so closely with ours. If you're a founder building in Kentucky, you need to check out the resources that KY Innovation has to offer. You can find more information by clicking the link in our show notes or going to kyinnovation.com. All right, Adam Bowe.
What's up, man?
Welcome to Middle Tech. I'm glad we finally getting you on here.
Absolutely, I'm pumped. First time in the new office
space. Yeah, we got to give JP Blevins a shout out. He's letting us use his office spaces here. JP's been a big fan of Middle Tech as well as DevelopLex and has been kind enough to let us shoot in this awesome downtown location here. So big shout out to JP and his support of the startup ecosystem.
JP, unbelievable space, man.
Yeah. It's going to be fun to have people down here.
Yeah.
Get to use the space. So diving into Cake, give us kind of the elevator pitch of what Cake is. I know we kind of mentioned it there in the intro.
Yeah.
It's like a marketplace for insurance agents, books of business. Give us a high level overview and let's talk a little bit about the intricacies of what that means.
I mean, you did a great job. So marketplace for insurance, books of business is the reason that's important, right, is that this is their most valuable asset, insurance agents, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that we've all heard, or a lot of us have heard about the silver tsunami. It's, largest transfer of wealth. We've got the baby boomers retiring, right? It's very specific to the insurance industry as well, or very pertinent, I guess. But it's their largest asset. And so when they retire, they have to transact on this book, right? And right now, insurance agents have a binary option. So you either sell and you sell it all, and you're an entrepreneur, like you've built an agency and you run that agency. And so either you say goodbye to your baby and sell that, or you sell and then go work for somebody and you're a producer, right?
And talk about just real quick how that transaction happens currently.
So it's like it's a normal M&A transaction, okay. Like they're buying the full business. And then the other side of the binary option is you don't sell and you don't, transact on and access that wealth that you've built, right? Mm-hmm. And so what we're building is, one, and I'll touch on why bringing the normal transaction to our target audience is important, because we facilitate that kind of the classic M&A transaction. But we also allow for agents to slice their book of business so they can create slices. We've actually got Have Your Cake and Eat It Too trademarked within the insurance
space.
So anywhere else you can use it, but in the insurance industry, it's ours. And so you can create slices. So think, carrier, line of business, state, and you can sell portions of your book of business. And so what's really important there is it provides optionality to the sell side. So they can, transact how and when they want. They've worked really hard to build this valuable asset. And so they have that optionality now. But they can also optimize their business, pivot to focus on niches that are more profitable, sell off lines that aren't, right? And then it also gives the independent agents themselves the opportunity to be part of the buy side of the transaction. So the last 15 years or so, the transaction numbers have, we're talking, 217% in the last 15 years increase in year-over-year transactions. So lots of activity here because that reoccurring revenue is so so steady, you know? And so PE firms have gotten in the space and are buying the money as an investor and buying the books as an investment. You've got AccuSure, you've got Hub. These are huge aggregators that are coming in and they create kind of a flagship regional one. And then they fold all these small independent agents underneath them, right?
Makes sense. Yep.
So the independent agent that wants to grow, you know, they've got two options. They've either got to sell more policies, or they've got to try to compete with PE firms and Acusure and Hub to buy a full agency.
Yep.
And so that fractional transaction, optionality for the sell side, and empowers agents to be able to get in on the buy side as well.
Super interesting. And I remember when we got drinks to kind of talk about how, you know, the business was going, you're saying this also kind of allows people to focus on what they're really good at as an agent. So talk about that portion of it as well, because that makes a whole lot of sense when you think of it as like slicing it up.
Yeah.
You have
yeah.
different parts of insurance that you might sell. You can now kind of build up your book of business specifically for what you're good at. And you can also sell off the parts that you're not so crazy about, which I think is cool.
And so I think if you think about insurance is a legacy industry, right? Yep. And that term kind of gets thrown around sometimes as a, you know, derogatory term for like old industries, right?
Sure.
But you know, what it really is, it's a backbone industry. So manufacturing, real estate, insurance, banking, right? You find these in every town, every county, you know, small cities, big cities, everything, mm-hmm. right? So if you imagine the local agent, they know the other small businesses in town, right? And so their buddy might have a commercial trucking line of business, right? So they place it with their friend who's an agent, right? But that agent, they may only have just that one small business in commercial trucking. Well, commercial trucking is a really complicated underwriting process and just, you know, claims process, et cetera, right? And there are agencies that only focus on niches like commercial trucking,
sure.
right? So if you've got 3% of your book in commercial trucking, well, that's really valuable to someone that focuses on that niche. And you can transact on that, access that capital. That can be something that you go out and buy in your niche, right? And the good thing is that your buddy who has the commercial trucking business, he ultimately gets better service, better rates, because the carriers themselves that are working with these independent agents, they give them, you know, it's kind of like a frequent flyer, right? Like
sure.
the more you fly, the more you buy, the better rates, the better deals you get.
That makes
and
sense.
So the person he's selling to is going to get him better rates, better coverages. And so it's kind of a win-win-win all the way across.
Yeah, that's awesome. That makes a lot of sense. And so talk a little bit about the stage of the business currently. So I know that you guys are still pretty early stage.
Yeah.
Talk about any fundraising efforts you're into right now. And then maybe talk a little bit about how the business actually got started, like where this all came from.
Yeah. So we're dotting I's and crossing T's on our seed round right now, which
awesome.
Is very
Congrats.
Exciting.
Yeah.
So it's going to be $1 million seed round, safe note. It's been an interesting time to be raising.
That's an understatement.
Because of the just, you know, the happenings of the world, right?
It's been crazy.
But what's been great about what we've done. So, you know, we've been working on this for about 18 months, right? And myself about a year in earnest. So I was, you know, doing some contracting work on the side at Xometry, kind of exploring this option. And then it, you know, it got real, it had something. And so we dove in and we've been working on it for about a year. And what's been great about our strategy on the fundraising is we've really targeted industry folks that, so
that's super important.
Yeah, it's like these the state associations, so IIANC, which is the Big I Association of North Carolina.
Yep.
It's all the independent agents of North Carolina.
I'm familiar with them. Yep.
And then, you know, agents who have kind of like made it, right? Like so they've been in it
cool.
for a long time and they've got agencies themselves, but they're active in investing in insurtech. And then folks that are there's a really cool group that's focused on helping agents transition from captive to independent. So going from like Allstate or State Farm
sure.
to being an independent agent. And they've built this incredible organic audience on Facebook. They've got like 47,000 insurance agents on there. And like, you've never seen more activity within that space. And it's all from like, because it's pure, right? Like it's organic. And so everyone that we've brought in as an investor is like, invested, not to be, you know, a cliche, but invested in the industry. And
yep.
so, you know, they're passionate about it. They give advice. They know they're bringing that industry knowledge, right? So yeah, dot and I's, crossing T's on the seed round. But we've been building for about a year. So it's been great because we had enough time to kind of take it slow and build right, like the beta.
Yep.
We've had the product out in kind of like a mature beta phase for about 6 months now. But folks have been finding us. We're not running a lot of like marketing campaigns because
that's awesome.
We're joining IINC just launched 101 Weston Labs. I don't know if you
I'm not familiar.
No. Okay. Well,
I think I saw that on LinkedIn.
Yeah. My LinkedIn posted that. Yeah. I was reading that. Yeah. But they just started an InsurTech accelerator. They're trying to take more control for like helping InsurTech be for independent agents because there's just like, you know, it's like I was talking about, independent agents are getting like kind of gobbled up by the big boys. Right. Yeah. And so there's this big push for empowering independent agents. And so they just launched an InsurTech accelerator and we're joining that in June and going to their audience and stuff's about to get real.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah. And you know, I think distribution is like one of the first things you have to, well, not one of the first things, but one of the biggest things you have to figure out.
Yeah.
Once you've built the product is like getting it in people's hands. And, you know, I wish Evan was here to kind of comment on this, but I feel like I can speak on it a little bit 'cause I talk so much with Evan about Simba and his emphasis on raising his next round of capital from strategic investors.
Yeah.
And just the importance of having people on your cap table that know your industry and know how to help you effectively rather than just like the traditional, like, oh, I can give you intros and like capital. It goes so much further.
It's important, especially in these industries, you know, real estate, insurance, because it's a relationship industry. Like the people that are in the industry doing it, right? They lean on relationships. And so, man, like if you don't have those connections, you have to raise another $1 million just to do the marketing that they can replace, right?
Right.
And the trust transference that comes with that. And, you know, I think the other thing that's important is like, I think it's less so here, but anybody coming from tech, right? Sometimes we come into these industries as like with like a savior mentality, right? Like we're bringing the technology and we're going to like change the way you do business, right? Which can be true, right? But man, like manufacturing. So when I was at Xometry talking to the machinist, right? You think that a machinist is like covered in grime and oil. Like this is like science, man. Like it looks like NASA in their shops, you know, and we couldn't do it. You know, me and you would look like idiots in there. And same thing with insurance, man. It's so complicated. And so to show up as a student and learn from them and connect with them and access that industry knowledge and then provide what you can that helps their processes or the things that they do. That's a really beautiful marriage of those two, you know?
Yeah, man. And I've kind of learned that through 3 years of being at Sales River. And it's funny because we're actually serving like very, very similar customers. You know, Sales River essentially exists and was created to empower independent agents as well in terms of giving them kind of a way to compete against the big insurance carriers that have a lot of buying power, like specifically in the marketing sector of the industry.
Right.
So it's like, you know, once you get into this industry and you see all the complexities of it, for me, one of my learnings being with this startup is just broadly, like you think you know an industry until you get in the industry.
And then you have no idea. And you're
like, oh, holy shit. Like there is so deep.
Yeah.
And now I'm really seeing that because we just brought on a new SDR that I'm kind of training and trying to help understand like what we're building and our place in the industry and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like trying to get somebody up to speed. What I've learned over 3 years is just like, it's so deep.
Man,
and I'm sure it's the same way.
You don't even realize
what you've been in,
what you learn that becomes second nature. You
absorb it.
Yeah. And, but then you talk to somebody that they've done it for 30 or 40 years and you're like, wow, I sound like a 3-year-old right now, you know, but like that's been the cool thing is that we found the right people to partner with.
Yep.
They're passionate about it and they want to make this work. We want to make this work because ultimately, you know, if you have your own business, you know, my dad had his own PT practice for a long time. Mm-hmm. Right. And, now he talks about, look, man, I didn't have like a company match 401k at that point. You know, he went more corporate later, but you don't have like a company match 401k. Sometimes you're not investing in that because you're investing in your small business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this book of business or their agency, like that's their asset. So, you know, it's really important to be a good steward of that, but then also like help provide like very powerful tools for them to get the most value for that. Or, you know, if they're in the growth stage, grow that to be as valuable as they can.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, shifting to talking a little bit about challenges you guys have faced so far, you know, starting a new company is just a road full of hurdles and challenges and everything else. So let's first talk about some of the challenges you faced, maybe some things you've learned from it or how you've overcome them. And then we'll talk about some success stories and milestones you've hit so far as well.
Yeah. So I think, you know, company challenges, it's twofold. One, much more complicated industry from a data perspective than you think on the outside in, right? Like, one, there's a ton of complexity to it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not just an auto policy, right? There's a million variations underneath that, right? Yep. There's a ton of different types of home policies, right? So there's all this complexity. There's also a lot of differences in like the value of a book based on like the region and different carriers are active in different regions. But also in this industry, the data is very closely guarded or hasn't been kept, right? And so there's huge blind spots in this. You know, for example, in the transactions that I was talking about, 215% year over year, right? But that's only the publicly like kind of tracked transactions. And this actually circled me back around to what I was talking about early. So the about 70% of the independent agents in the country do less than $1 million. About 33% total do less than $150,000 in yearly revenue, right? Wow. Regional brokers won't even sniff at those two groups to help with this transaction. And so you have folks that either on the buy or the sell side are going through their first kind of M&A, like real M&A or pseudo M&A if they're doing some fractional stuff, transactions, and they can't get like actual like professional help and guidance kind of going through this. So what we're trying to build is not only the transactional engine, but kind of like an Intuit TurboTax. So it's a guided transaction that kind of helps empower you to know what the right step is, right? But so there's these transactions happen, but they're like backroom deals. Like you talk to the guy at the local country club, and so there's no data on them, right? And so, you know, I've spent about the last year living, scraping data. And so we've got about 7 million data points that are helping to power a book of business valuation algorithm that we're launching to IANC. It's going to be first of its kind in the industry. Going to be pretty amazing because it'll give really powerful business intelligence tools to the agents and do so in a way that isn't, I think you can, that conversation can be tough because a lot of these folks have been incredibly successful agents that grew into owning an agency. They didn't necessarily set out to be a business owner. So if you start asking them for their EBITDA or their, you know, cash flow rate or, you know, things like that, things that PE groups that are looking to buy or value, right? Like it's, they know by second nature. Not all the agents know that. And so that can be like either an embarrassing or a friction filled process.
I'm sure.
And so we're asking them stats on their book that they know and then level setting everything else and then helping to return, you know, an expected value of that. Because if you ask 10 agents what the multiple is on their book of business, you're going to get 14 different answers back because some guy's going to throw out four numbers, you know? So, you know, the data has been, there's a lot of it, but it's very disparate. There's a lot of black holes. So trying to collect all that, clean it, organize it. And then, you know, I think too, like just establishing the relationships, you know, you're talking about not only breaking into a relationship industry, but also like, you know, being a part of the transaction for their most valuable asset, the thing that they're going to retire with.
For sure.
So people are really guarded about that.
For sure.
They're guarded about their data too, because if I have you as a policy, right, and Evan knows that I'm looking to sell, you don't have to stay with me. And so he could call you and say, Adam's getting out of the game, let me quote you. And then he doesn't have to buy your policy from me.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're really guarded about that. And so you have to, you know, put some legwork in to get that trust.
I can imagine. Yeah. We've seen similar stuff, just not directly with our product, but just in terms of how the insurance industry works in general. All right. So talk about some success stories or some early successes that you guys have seen along.
Yeah. So, I mean, one, I think just one of the biggest successes is like, so we, I was talking about our investor makeup, right? And we pitched to kind of the normal institutional folks that you hear about a lot locally. And, you know, honestly, we had some great conversations with them and got a little ways down the road before we kind of settled on our strategy. But when you're explaining this product to them, you know, you have to do a lot of background, right? Yep. And man, I'll tell you, 95% of the agents, I get about two sentences in, you know, kind of explaining this, and they're like, holy shit, that is incredible.
That's awesome.
And then they're spitting back what I was just about to say. Oh, you man, know?
That's got
to
be a great
and
feeling.
And so the understanding and like the kind of the attachment to it, right? And then I was talking about we haven't been doing a lot of marketing or really any because we're not building in stealth mode, right? But, you know, it's been out. We wanted to see it tested, right, and drive folks there. Or see if people came, but we're launching to IINC as part of their investment to us and as part of their InsurTech. But we've got over 200 users on the site of people just like found us, uploaded their slice, like never talked to me, never like, you know what I mean? Like they gave me access to their data and their insurance book. Without any sort of...
Is this okay?
No, sorry, man.
No, sorry.
It's always big bugs.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Make sure you ain't got no bed bugs with you.
Well, there you go, man. Evan showed up back from Disney World checking to make sure we didn't have any bed bugs. Evan, man, crashing Jesus. The party.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's start back at you. Let's just start from the point.
I think you got to leave that in there. No, I'm kidding.
Dude, I'm going to go and like pull that shut so that doesn't happen again. I thought for sure it was going to be closed. All right. Let's start back at the point where you're saying that you guys had agents that were like really resonating with the platform. You had around 200 users and then.
Yeah, so you want me to go all the way back to that, or you want me to start the
somewhere between there and where we got interrupted?
Yeah. So, you know, the agents that we explain the product to, they get it. Honestly, one of our investors, they came to us and said we were trying to build this and just figured out that because marketplaces seem simple, it's just bringing people together, right? It's a lot harder than that.
Yeah, it's like reality, the chicken and the egg.
Right? Chicken and the egg's huge.
Yep.
And so they hit a wall, right? But then we were like, hey, we really want to break into the space. So they were like, well, we're bringing all the industry knowledge, the connections. And so, you know, you see this kind of perfect marriage, but to see somebody seeing the need for it and wanting to build it and explaining it to your users and them just immediately getting really excited about it. But then, you know, again, I was saying that, we're not doing, you know, a bunch of acquisition marketing right now because we have 101 Wesson Labs coming up. But we have over 200 people that have found us. I mean, just, you know, we've done a decent job of SEO, so we're ranking, you know, pretty high on that, but typing in, how do I sell or how do I buy an insurance book of business? Yep. And then, you know, like uploading their slice and listing it and messaging, you know, buyers and sellers back and forth. So even without the push for activity, because, you know, we're not building in stealth mode, but we're, you know, we're working with a target user group to launch to first. So to see that already get some attachment, that's been cool.
Because that's exciting, dude. Very exciting.
Yeah. I think when you're building something, you only see the warts, you know? And yeah, so like we're kind of building in self mode and I'm seeing it and I'm like, it's great, but we've still got so much to do. But to see people already get excited about it and list their slices, that's cool.
Yeah. The fact that people are going and figuring it's like intuitive enough for them to one, understand right off the bat, two, go and do it themselves without having to talk to you. Like those are huge indicators. And that's, I can imagine you're very excited about that. And man, I know from the early days at Leadrilla, like talking to somebody that understands your business model and what you're doing and then like starts saying it back to you.
Yeah.
There is no better feeling
than that.
It's
electric, man. It's electric.
It really is. That's a great way to describe it. It is electric when you're talking to like a potential customer and you're like, you get it. Well, and they're like excited about it
too. You know, I work from home, and as a founder, you're working all the time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. That's the only other lesson I've learned is you got to watch this stuff kind of consuming you. Cause
yeah,
I mean, anything I do right I'm now, sure. I weigh it against, well, I could be building X or I could be working on Y. Right. And mm-hmm. So I'm like, do I get a beer with that guy or is it worth more time to be building this? So
yeah,
you got to watch that, but you know, you can go a little crazy in your room thinking like, am I working this hard for, you know, I'm just tinkering away on this thing. Mm-hmm. And so to get, when you expose it to the user base and kind of continually kind of gut check with them, to get that validation back, that gets exciting.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That's awesome. And I'm very excited to hear you guys having those success stories. But to kind of wrap things up here and more forward looking as you guys plan out the future, what the next couple years look like for Cake, you can be as specific or as high level as you want with this question, but what does the future of the product look like? What additional things are you trying to build? What kind of, you know, what are you trying to do with the company?
Yeah. So I think fintech for us is the next 3 to 5 years, right? So the marketplace, the meet and greet, the interactions themselves, that's built, that will get better. You know, we'll continue to develop that, but targeted boutique fintech solutions for the industry. So you're not just bringing quick pay, you know, or, you know, a wallet solution, right? Like each industry has very unique pain points for, you know, just their day-to-day or their long-term strategic stuff. And we've already got kind of a good roadmap for at least the next 6 to 12 months of those. But continuing to surround that transaction with, you know, optional, fintech tools that provide optionality on how the sell side transacts.
Just make it even more frictionless.
Empowerment for building up the independent agent as a buyer, and allowing them to grow as much as they see fit and kind of optimize their business that way. And you do that all through surrounding that transaction with really targeted, unique fintech solutions, you know, for independent agents, not just kind of like cookie cutter ones.
Man. Yeah, that's super exciting. It makes a ton of sense for that to end up as a fintech play. So I'm going to be super excited to have you back on the Spotlight Series once you guys get a little bit further down the road. If people want to keep up with Cake, give out the website, any social channels that they can keep up with.
Yeah, so www.haveyourcake.com. You can also find me, Adam Bowe, B-O-W-E, on LinkedIn. And then, you know, LinkedIn, same tag, you know, Have Your Cake.
Sweet.
But yeah.
Awesome. Well, man, thanks for coming on and doing this. Congrats on all the success you've seen so far. And like I said, excited to keep watching, have you back on very soon.
Yeah, man. Can't wait.
Awesome.